This has been a day of hearing so many things that the Lord is saying in different ways. I mean, it's just happened all throughout the day, I think. Even Ted's statement at the meeting about what level of faith to invest in, you know, in the houses and in the village in Zambia, just, and the message this morning and things that I've been hearing for me personally, but also I think, and the presence of the Lord tonight is a confirmation for me, and I was very glad because I'm bringing a word about that I always love it when he shows up before you say anything, you know. I believe that the Lord wants to take over more and more in these meetings. I think he wants us to give over the time to him and see what he will do and let it flow. And I heard something about that, to that effect. Giving the meeting over to me, seeing what I will do with it, and letting people know that it depends only on everyone listening. Taking me seriously about the kingdom of priests. He wants us all to rise up, respond, be part of the flow with him, and all those pieces work together. So I said, I agree with that, Lord. I mean, I don't know exactly what it's supposed to look like, but I agree with it. And so let's do it, you know. And the other thing I heard is that one accord is a place where you can afford to do that. And he's partly talking to me, but I think he's talking to all of us in a way. One accord is a place you can afford to do that. Everyone there is open to it and needs now to be challenged to walk in the Spirit, live in the kingdom, grow in faith and in the power of God flowing through them. So I think that's what the Lord wants to do. And then I was reminded of this scripture. It's in Luke 12:31-32. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. And then verse 34 says, do not fear, little flock, which is right tonight, we're a little flock. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. When I was thinking about this today in terms of just, everybody who's going to speak about anything in whatever way they are going to likes to have some idea what they're going to do, you know, have notes and but the more we give the meetings over to the Lord, the less agenda there will be except His, and we will have to discover it, you know. Now, that can make you a little nervous, you know. But I was thinking about that this afternoon, and I noticed the difference between things that we prepare and things that we just respond to. There's a different quality, huh? When the Lord just takes up things and starts to move and flow, it's a different quality. So I was reflecting on that, and then I was reminded of a word that a friend of mine up in Orange County sent to me, and I thought, oh yeah, how did that go? You know. So I looked it up. I have things online, so they're not that hard to find, you know. And when I printed it, I realized that it was exactly a year ago today in Sundays. October 23rd, 2005, you know. I said, And here's the part that I was remembering. Talking about things that the Lord is saying to me. She will come into the place, I will come, Susan, will come into the place of knowing less and less beforehand what she is to say, and more into opening her mouth with my voice speaking forth. This will be a process, not a sudden thing, but she is to know it is coming. Very interesting. So I want to share a couple of things, just a couple of scriptural things that go with the thing that I think the Lord wants to do tonight. And for the last few months, and it may continue, but for the last few months, every once in a while, I get prompted to read through Romans 8. And so I've been doing that. And I know that whenever I'm reading something over and over again, I'm not getting it yet, you know. The Lord is insistent that I'm not getting it yet. But about a couple of weeks ago, a scripture, a part of it, stood out for me. And it's in verses 15. And I'll read 15 through 17. Or 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. When I read it this time, the spirit of bondage and the spirit of adoption stood out for me. And you know, the spirit of bondage does not come from the Lord. He didn't give us that. He's not the source of that. He is the source of the spirit of adoption. And I realized that there is quite a battle between those two spiritual influences. One that wants to hold us in bondage, one that wants us to come into our whole inheritance and release us from all of those things. And I'm hearing a lot lately, both personally and in some of the things that were said this morning and recently, that the whole issue of doubting and fearing and not really believing the Lord is a huge bondage. You know, it's a huge bondage. And when you look at it closely, the idea of believing anyone but him becomes more and more ridiculous, and yet we get caught up in it. We get swayed, we get moved by arguments. And so I realize that there is a battle, and we are all actually in that, I think. There's always an effort to hold us, to hinder us, to dampen us in some way, and keep us from the whole promise. Lance this morning was talking about releasing our faith. The second step, I guess he called it.
Turning.
Releasing our faith. It's really, I've been working with that, you know, very deliberately the last couple of weeks. And so when he said it this morning, I just said, whoa, Lord. So I want to comment on the fight that is. Turn over with me to 1 Timothy 6. This is verse 12. Paul is saying to Timothy, I'll read 11 too, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. And here's my experience. Faith is a fight. You have to fight for faith. You have to block some of the things that are trying to come in. You have to get over a lot of our natural inheritance, because it speaks very different messages to us than God does. There are a lot of disqualifying statements, all of those things. Fight for your faith. Fight for the inheritance. Fight for the things that the Lord has, and not settle for anything less, you know. I feel like that is going to have to happen for us. You know, Lance was saying this morning that the Lord has a lot in store for Emmanuel, and it rests on transformation. We got to get everything out of the way and believe Him and go for it. So, the inheritance, the general cover, the whole provision that we make is Him giving us His Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit, the one that works the things of God. Then, very specifically, He calls us to certain things, right? So, I want to look at Acts 13 in that regard. The first part of Acts 13, this takes place in Antioch. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. And the rest of chapter 13 and all of 14 is what happened to them. Some glorious things, some very challenging things. Probably in quite a bit of balance, but both go on. And that's what's going to happen for us, isn't it? You know, as we start investing, as we start moving, we're going to see some glorious things that God does, and we are going to be majorly challenged. At the end of chapter 14, they finish their route, all the things that happen in that process that they are called to, and they come back to Antioch, and it says in verse 27, "Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that He had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles." The church is meeting to hear about what God has done in this message here. Is that cool or what? Now, if that's going to be a significant part of our meeting, we've all got to be taking it up, right? And that brings me to the thing that I heard the Lord say about this time. It's very, very simple. I heard Him say that He wants to commission a couple of His kids tonight. And I said, "Okay, Lord." As I reflected on that a little bit, I'll give you an idea of just what I had. It has to do with calling and declaring it, and having that recognized, and people know that that's what you're about, and so they're more in a position to support and encourage that. It may be about some fulfillment place in the calling. It may be about a work which is in preparation now, and it will continue before it spreads out. In either case, my sense is that the Lord has spoken some things to the hearts of people, planted some things, and He intends for them to grow up. I have the impression that though those things may have been laying around for a while, not acted on, I had this sense that there's almost like a waiting to see if God will do it, or waiting to be sure that it is indeed Him. But the sense I have is that He wants it to be declared by faith before it happens, and move into it by taking up His word and believing Him for what He has said. So I think He's reminding people of what He has said, challenging us to take it seriously, and wanting the body to know what He's planted, wanting the rest of the body to know that He's planted some things in our hearts so we can lay hands on that person, pray for them, encourage them in whatever way they need, and be part of the comfort or encouragement when the challenging part happens, you know. But we know what's going on. But the key thing, I think, is to take it up, to take God seriously, that He birthed that for a purpose, and He means to do something with it, you know. Now, He didn't tell me who they were, but there's at least two people. So I want to ask the Lord about it and let Him touch whoever that is. Lord, I have a sense that sometimes when You start saying something to us, it feels kind of foreign, and it may to the folks that you want to call out tonight. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that You confirm or encourage or do whatever is needed for them to be able to respond. You know, I think, Lord, we have a tendency to hide whatever You've said to us until it's for sure or something, or until it's already happening, or until. But I also feel like You're kind of breaking into things and saying, get a hold of it and release your faith and trust Me to bring it about. It has to do with us not, I guess, hiding Your word in our heart, but letting it be known and allowing the body to encourage and bless and surround the work that You want to do. It also seems, Lord, like it's been a while since You first planted the vision and sense of calling. Stir it up, Lord. No set of circumstances, no events, no failures, nothing changes that birthing that the Lord has done. I feel like it's been under some things, and the Lord is not going for that anymore.